Welcome to New Freedom Church. We want to also let you know that right directly after this, we're going to be going to Meadowbrook Park for our annual picnic. You are welcome to come and eat as many hot dogs, brats, and hamburgers you possibly can stomach, all right? So we got them cooking right now. We got something that's coming up, two things in 2 weeks. Number one, on the 26th, we have our Converge worship night at 6:30. That's going to be Friday. It's going to be a Friday night. In 2 weeks, we're going to converge here, and we're going to worship on a Friday night and just focus in upon the Lord and worship and pray. It's going to be an awesome, awesome night of worship. So mark that down on your calendar, the 26th on a Friday night at 6:30. Also, we are doing an outreach coming up the 28th. We are partnering with Brown County Foster Kids. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be giving out school supplies and so forth. And what we want to ask you to do while everybody's in the school supply mentality is that if you would pick up an extra thing of paper or pencils or pens or no backpacks at all. They said backpacks we got plenty of. We need school supplies. So while you're buying school supplies for your kids at Walmart, you know, you can grab the school supply list and just put a foster kid, adopt a foster kid, and buy some school supplies. Bring them in here. We're going to put them in the sanctuary right here on the 28th and pray over those things and bless those foster kids, all right? I talked to Sarah about this, and I've heard some of the folks there at the foster program, and they say that some of these kids go into school with no supplies whatsoever. And so that breaks my heart. So we want to do our part and help out with that. So whatever you can do, if you can completely just take one of those school supply lists and go and just buy the whole thing, that's fine. Or if you want to buy an extra thing of paper or a package of pencils or crayons or whatever it is, and bring them in on the 28th, that Sunday on the 28th, and we're going to distribute them then, okay? All right, well, Randy, would you come on up? Ushers, if you would, we're going to take up our offering this morning. And as far as the picnic goes, everybody's going to start converging over there at about 11:30, and so we're going to have some games and just some good time over there, all right? All right. Want to also thank you for your giving. Let me just say this. Last month, you guys, our church, New Freedom Church, took up almost $2,000 for missions last month. Thank you guys so much for doing that. $2,000. That was incredible. That makes me proud as a pastor because you guys get it globally. You guys get it when it comes to our missionaries and what they're doing. Thank you so very much for your giving. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to give and to receive. And so, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And so, Lord, as we give our tithe and we give our offering to you, God, may you bless it. May you bless it and supply every need according to your riches and glory. Father, we love you and we praise you for your good works. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys as you give this morning. Randy is going to introduce our speaker this morning, and so Randy, if you'll go ahead.
Well, this is not Missions Monday, but if you're following Jesus, you're always on mission, right? From the moment you wake up till the moment you go to sleep, you're on mission. Well, sometimes God might give us a dream in the night, so even when you're sleeping, you're on mission, right? Well, we have a very special guest speaker today. His name is Dennis Nonnemacher, and he is him and his wife lead up Going Global Ministries. They actually live in Indiana, but they have ministries all over the world. And we are so blessed to have him speak to us today. He's going to be sharing a message that's from his heart and then a special announcement afterwards. So I'm excited to have Dennis come. Would you give a New Freedom Church welcome to one of our own, very own missionaries, Dennis Nonnemacher.
Well, my name is Dennis. My wife's name is Robin. We're familiar with your church. We've been, you may not be familiar with me, but Robin and I have been here since it began. We've been friends with this church, even when it was just called Firehouse, I think, on Friday night or something like that, when it meant. And it's good to be here again. It's good to share with you. And I want to begin by saying I bring greetings from our church and from my wife in Indiana. And also want to thank you for your support for our ministry. Thank you on behalf of the people in Myanmar and Vietnam and China and Nepal and the Andaman Islands and so many of the other places that we minister. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. You've been really, really faithful over the years, and we really, really, really appreciate New Freedom Church. Thank you very, very much. Let me tell you a little bit. I don't recognize a lot of faces. It's been a while since I've been here, so I want to just tell you a little bit about Going Global before I share a message from the Word. We're a unique missions organization. We don't send people overseas. We don't live overseas. We live right here in America. And we connect with people overseas, national people, who have a vision for the Lord. And we come alongside of them, and we help them accomplish what God put on their heart. We equip, we teach, we train, we connect churches like New Freedom with indigenous leaders overseas who have a heart for their people or their region, and then we help them accomplish their vision. We don't try to Americanize anybody. We just try to help them within their own culture because they know the government, they know the finances, they know the language, they know everything about their nation or their region. Excuse me. And so we come alongside of them and we help them. Amen. That's pretty much it. We travel overseas. We take people overseas. We're constantly communicating with people in about 9 or 10 different nations by internet or even by phone now. I mean, the guy in Myanmar's got an iPhone, so we FaceTime. Pretty crazy. It used to take months to get to a place like Myanmar by boat, and now we can do FaceTime. And so we're constantly in touch with the people that were there. And again, thank you for helping our ministry. In January, I was at a conference, and a worship leader named Jason Upton, that you all know, lives in western Wisconsin, was born and raised in Minnesota. He now lives in western Wisconsin. He was doing worship, and he shared in the middle of a song. He said, you know, when I was 18 years old, I was really good friends with an 80-year-old guy, and when I left the area, he was my mentor, and he was teaching me, and I said to him, look, I'm leaving, you're staying, do you got any advice for me? And he said, the old man said to me, yeah, I can tell you 5 things. One, be still and know that I am God. And then, be still and know that I am. And then, be still and know. And then, be still. And finally, be. That just clobbered me when he said that. And that particular night, I opened up my Bible, and I started reading Mark chapter 3, and I got to verse 13, verse 15, 13 through 15, and it says that Jesus went up to the mountain, and he called to himself those he himself wanted. And they came to him, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him. And he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. But the part that said, be with him, it took me right back to what Jason Upton said about be. And then I began to think about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul said, and I would encourage you to just look at the whole chapter because I'm not going to go there and read it, but he said, the body of Christ is arranged, it's composed, and it's been appointed. So now I'm starting to put all this stuff together, like, just go be who God created you to be. Jesus wants you to be with him. He picked you special. And know that you've been arranged. You've been composed like a fine piece of music. And you've been appointed. Dennis. And I just pondered that for quite a while. And then I wrote a teaching. Because there's a lot in that, and that's kind of what I'd like to share with you this morning. Okay? Is that all right? You guys are pretty serious. You'll loosen up when I get to the prune juice. I didn't mean it that way. Jesus said, he went up to the mountain, it said that he went up to the mountain, he wanted to be away from the crowd, and he took the 12 with him, those he wanted. You need to know, and I need to know, that we are wanted by Jesus. And if you're wanted, then we need to feel like we belong to him. He was selecting a group of people that he would instruct, he would disciple, and then he would send out to turn the world upside down. And shortly thereafter, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that the Christians were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. And then the result was that there was awe among the people and that there was healing and signs and wonders. So whatever Jesus started with these 12 people was beginning to work. And thousands were being converted to Christianity in the new Christian church. In Acts chapter 8, it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit so that we could be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all parts of the world. In Luke 24, 31, it talks about Jesus being with the men on the road to Emmaus, and their eyes were open and they recognized him. In chapter 28 of Matthew and in chapter 16 of Mark, it talks about the Great Commission, about going and making disciples. That's what Jesus wanted those 12 people to do. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. And we need to begin by knowing that we're wanted. We're wanted. The next thing I saw in this passage was that Jesus wanted them to be with him. Jesus wants us. He wants everybody here. He wants you to be with him. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. He chose them, it says in the Amplified Bible, to be with him. Well, that's powerful. Jesus finds us because he wants us to be with him. We don't find Jesus. And I heard Don Potter, who is also a worship leader, say one day, you know, maybe we ought to start thinking about how Jesus accepted us. We didn't accept him. That too was pretty powerful. Because Jesus wants us. He accepts us. He seeks us because he wants us to be with him. Think about that for a moment. The God that created the universe and everything in it wants you to be with him. And he chooses us to be with him. Then I looked at that passage and I saw that it said, he sent them. So we need to be sent. If you don't get anything else out of what I'm sharing with you this morning, I hope that you get this part. This is not just about Sunday church. This is not just about Wednesday prayer meetings or Wednesday night church. There's a call on everybody's life that received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's to be sent. And the call is much greater than the need. And I'm a missionary, and I'm blasted with needs all the time. And it breaks my heart. But you know what? God keeps reminding me over and over and over again that the call is more important than the need. Jesus said, or Jesus is saying, that we need to be sent. He wanted them to be with him, he wanted them to belong to him, and he wanted them to be sent, and he wants us to be sent as well. In John chapter 17, Jesus said this, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." And then if you study chapter 17 of John, you find out how Jesus sent his disciples and how he's sending us. And as a missionary, this is really important for me to constantly get in my head. I'm called, and there are needs, but I have to focus on the call and the fact that I'm being sent, and so do each of you. And this is how Jesus sent them. I hope you have time to study John chapter 17, because this is what you'll discover, and this is how you're sent. It says you're sent in the Father's name, verse 6. Sent with the Father's word, verse 8 and verse 14. Sent with the Father's glory, verse 22. Sent with the Father's love, verse 26. Sent with joy, verse 13. Sent, sanctified, and set apart, verse 17. And sent in unity, verse 21 and 23. That's how we are sent. Every minute of every day with the gospel of Jesus Christ. With his name, with his word, with his glory, with his love, with his joy. Set apart in unity. Isn't that powerful? He wants us to be sent. Now, I'm just going to look at the name. Sent in the Father's name. And listen to this. If we're sent in the Father's name, and the Father's name describes his nature, for those of you that are thinking you want to go to Myanmar in March on a missions trip, this is how you're going to be sent in the Father's name. You're going to be sent in the name of Jehovah, who is eternal God. You're going to be sent in the name of Jehovah Tsidkenu, God my righteousness. Jehovah Nisi, God my banner. Jehovah Rapha, God my healer. Jehovah Rohi, God my shepherd. Jehovah Mikdash, God my sanctifier. Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Jehovah Shammah, God my ever-abiding presence. Jehovah Elohim, God, our creator, Adonai, my master and Lord, and El Shaddai, God, my supplier. That's how we are sent every time we go out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm never afraid to pray for people for healing because I'm sent by Jehovah Rapha. I'm never afraid to pray for people for provision because I'm sent with God by God, my Jehovah Jireh. I'm never afraid to pray for people for peace in their life that are living in chaos because I'm sent by God, by Jehovah Shalom. And neither should you. Here in Green Bay, out of New Freedom Church, you're being sent on the workplace. You're being sent in the schools. You're being sent to your family. You're being sent by your neighborhood. In the name of Jesus, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you should never, ever, ever be timid about that. But be bold. Then, in this passage, I saw that we need to be used. And actually, We are sent to be used by him for kingdom purposes. We're not disciples of a Bible school. We're not disciples of a church. We're not disciples of any kind of organization or country or anything else. We're sent as disciples of Jesus Christ to be used by him for kingdom purposes for four things: to preach the word, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to make disciples. That's it. Preach the word, heal the sick, lay hands and pray, and not be timid about it. Cast out demons and make disciples. That's our assignment. That's our call if we're going to be used by Jesus Christ. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, to accomplish that. That's an amazing scripture too. The God that created the universe decided that he was going to put his Holy Spirit in each one of us. And we are a temple for that Holy Spirit, so that we can be witnesses for Jesus Christ in Green Bay, Jerusalem, in Judea, northeast Wisconsin, in the remote parts of the world, Myanmar and other places, and in Samaria. The Jews hated Samaritans. So we're called to share and be witnesses to those people we don't necessarily like, or we have prejudice towards, or we don't get along with, our mother-in-laws, or father-in-laws. Four things: preach the word, heal the sick, cast out demons, and make disciples. And then it talks, when I see this whole scripture, I see that we're called to be real, to be the real person who God created us to be. Jesus is not looking for phonies. He's looking for real people. Look at the person next to you. You can't be like them. You can't be like your pastor. You can't be like me, a missionary. You can't be like anybody else but yourself, who God created you to be. And so be real. Just be that person. I remember, I've been doing this missionary thing for 31 years. And I was also a pastor for 6 years. And I remember when I started preaching, I tried to be funny like so-and-so. Or I tried to be serious like so-and-so. Or I tried to be real smart like so-and-so. And one day my wife said to me, "Why don't you just be who God created you to be?" And so that's who I am now. That's good advice from my wife. And sometimes I say things. Now, I told you about the prune juice. You know, we change over the years. I'm not the same person I was when I was 18, thank God, and neither are some of you. And I'm not the same person I was when I was 30. And I'm not the same person I was when I was 50. And I'm not the same person I was when I was 60, because I'm 72 years old now. And I was with a guy who's 84 years old. And he said to me one day, we were having a picnic. In fact, I'll see him this afternoon, because we're having another picnic with my family. And he said he was telling people that he went to this grocery store and he's really, really upset because he couldn't find the prune juice. And I looked at him and I said, "Dick, it wasn't long ago I heard you talking about you couldn't find the Budweiser." But he changed. He wasn't 45 or 50 years. He's 84 or something now, and he needs prune juice. He doesn't drink Budweiser anymore. He's changed. It's kind of like we're on the potter's wheel. We're on the potter's wheel. And God keeps shaping us and forming us. And every once in a while, we slide off to the side, and he grabs us and he shapes us again. He keeps shaping us. He keeps changing us. He keeps making us useful. Because he wants us to be with him. He wants us to be wanted. He wants us to be in his hands. We have a spot on the potter's wheel, and nobody can have our spot. And we can't have anybody else's spot. And God keeps shaping us, molding us. He took 12 guys who were worthless compared to the religious leaders opinion. And he molded them and he shaped them. And you're here as a result of that. So be real. Be the person God created you to be. Submit to him and let him use you. But you got to be real, because he can't use phonies. He wants to keep us. So we have to be kept. He wants to keep us. John 17:12 says, he kept those the Father gave him. This is a Selah moment. You read Psalms, you know that that's a time to pause. I want to ask you this. If he's keeping you, how are you keeping what he gave you? Your ministry? Your family? The material things he gave you? Your temple? The last part of what I discovered when I went through these scriptures was if I'm going to be myself, if I'm going to be wanted, if I'm going to be with Jesus, if I'm going to be kept, if I'm going to be careful, there's no ands, buts about it. And I might add, there's no commas or periods, and I'll explain that. A long time ago, I read in chapter 4, or verse 4 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, two words that changed my life. It said, but God. But God. You read the whole passage, verses 1 through 10, and I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. Right in the middle in verse 4, it says, but God. We were dead in our sins. But God. We were walking according to the world's standards, not God's, but God. We were following the devil's ways and not God's ways, but God. We were children of wrath, following our own flesh and its lusts for pleasure, but God. Over and over and over again, it says some things that we all are involved in or do, and we feel bad about it, and we feel unworthy, but God. Who is rich in mercy, who is great in love for us, even when we were dead in our sin, made us alive through Christ Jesus by faith, not by works. But God showered us with grace when we deserved punishment, and he gave us the gift, and the gift was Jesus Christ. There's no buts. There's no buts. David knew about no buts. In many of his Psalms, you'll find something like this. Many who say of me, there is no help for him in God. He's a loser. He's terrible. And David writes, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Or something like that. He knew about the but. Israel paid a terrible price because they put the but in the wrong place. 12 guys went out. 12 guys came back. They were leaders. It says spies, but you need to know they were leaders within each tribe. Those are big, important people. And 10 of them came back and said, that's a great place. And it's filled with milk and honey. And the fruit and the vegetables are amazing. But the people are big and strong, and we look like grasshoppers. Only Caleb and Joshua came back and said, you're right. The place is like milk and honey. The vegetables and fruit are enormous. And the people are really, really big. And we look like grasshoppers. But God gave us that land. See, they put the butt in the right place. Many of you have put periods in your life where God put a comma. and you're thinking about going to Myanmar, and you're saying, but I don't have the money, but I don't know if I can get the time off, but what if there's terrorists, but, you put a comma in the wrong place. You put a but in the wrong place. Some of you are thinking, I'm too old, period. And God's just got a comma there. You can't imagine how many times I wake up and say, it's over, period. And God says, no, it's a comma. I haven't finished the sentence yet, Dennis. I just had a stent put in my heart 3 weeks ago. 6 years ago, I had 5 bypasses because I had 11 blockages. You don't think I want to put a period in my life? But God keeps putting commas. And he's doing the same for you. Don't put a period in your life where God puts a comma. I understand commas and periods. I'll tell you something else. My wife went to study to be a medical translator or something, and my daughter is a legal secretary, went to school for that. You won't find very many mistakes in our newsletters, if you get it, with periods and commas, because those two are like a bulldog on a pants leg when it comes to periods and commas. And I know about periods and commas in letters, and I know about periods and commas in people's life as well. And I want to encourage you, don't put a period in your life if God has got a comma. And you know what? There's sometimes you have to put a period in your life. It's over. Something. And you have to move on. I just heard a guy say, get rid of all the religious relics. Period. Sometimes what we were doing 20 years ago is over. Period. It's not a comma. There's a new something going on. I can see a new something going on in this church. You guys put a period somewhere and you've got a whole new sentence starting. But I want to encourage you in your own life, put the but in the right place. Don't put a period where there's supposed to be a comma. And in some cases, there might be a period and you need to start a new part of your life or a new sentence. Just know that you're wanted. Know that Jesus wants to be with you. Jesus wants to send you. Jesus wants you to be used. Jesus wants you to be real. He's keeping you. So just be still and know that he is God. Amen? Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this time that I've had with New Freedom Church. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is always rich in teaching for us. Always. Always. Your word comes alive when we take time to meditate on it and study it. Thank you for this church who supports world missions. Thank you for a church and pastors and leaders that see way beyond their parking lot into the world that you created. And that they have a heart to be sent or to send. Thank you for the leadership here, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Jimmy. Thank you for bringing him to Green Bay, to this church, and the life that's in it. I pray too, Lord, that you have your hand on certain people that you want to go to Myanmar next spring. I pray that they wouldn't be bashful about it, but that they would put, if they feel a calling, that they would move forward slowly as they receive encouragement and confirmation to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to show you a video of the orphans in Myanmar. The team that goes to Myanmar will minister to between 200 and 300 orphans. But what I'd like you to pay attention to is the smiles on their faces, because they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because the Holy Spirit dwells within them, because there have been people that have been sent there, have responded to the call, and have brought the love of God with them, and it remains in these children's hearts. I'm going to go to the picnic, and if you're interested in going to Myanmar or you want to know more about our ministry, I'll be there for about an hour before I run off to a family picnic. And the guy with the prune juice, and I'll be happy to answer some of your questions at the picnic rather than kind of hang out here, all right? Thanks again for having me, Pastor Jimmy. I enjoy coming here. I enjoy sharing the Word of God. And then Randy's going to come up after the DVD and has a few things he's going to say. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Dennis, so much for sharing. Give him another hand for all God's doing in his life and ministry. We are honored to be able to partner with Dennis and Going Global and all of our missionaries that are doing wonderful work all over the globe. And we are so honored to have him here today. And to be honest with you, Dennis preached what I've been preaching for since January of this year. And that is, you are sent. You are uniquely designed. We're going through a series right now about the body and where we fit in the body. And it is so true. We are sent out, not by ourselves, but with the power of the Holy Spirit to cause us to be the witnesses God has created us to be. You are uniquely designed for this time in history right now. Amen? And so if this is our first missions trip since I've been here, and Randy's going to come up, and we're going to, Dennis, would you come back up? And we want to pray over you and bless you while you're here. We're also going to do this, Jason, if you'll get a bucket, and we're going to have him standing in the back, and as you go, if God lays it on your heart to give toward Dennis and his ministry, please do as you exit. And Randy?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. We've been praying about this for a long time and feel this is God's will that we go here and minister. At this particular orphanage in Myanmar, there's 150 children there, but you said there will be 300 because they'll be bringing them from other orphanages. Okay. And you also have orphanages in what countries? Andaman Islands? Nepal? Okay. Okay. Kids everywhere. Well, what does Scripture say? The true religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So we know this is scriptural, to look after orphans. I was thinking, this is, from talking to Dennis, it's going to be a little unique for me. I've been on a lot of missions trips. Some where I almost broke my back, but this is one where we're going to be demonstrating the love of Jesus. We're going to be demonstrating love. And what does Paul say? And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. We're going to be putting together things that we can do for the kids, crafts and skits and different things. We're just going to go love on these kids, just love on them. And in the meantime, let God love on us, right? That's what it's all about. Let God love on us. As Dennis said, he will be at the picnic, so if you have any general questions, even detailed questions, you can certainly ask him there. In the back table, there are some sample fundraising forms that Dennis has put together in the past that you can use for fundraising. You can take a look at those. And one big thing is passports. I just got mine renewed recently because my 10 years was almost expired, but that is huge. And I was at the post office 2 weeks ago, and they said that there will be a busyness at the end of the year. There's going to be a lot of activity there, so they encourage us to get your passport applications. There's some back there for first-time applicants and for renewals, and all the information is back there. So please take a look at that. But next Sunday, after service, we'll have a short meeting. For those that are interested, we can pray over. We'll pray for you. If I can't answer your questions, I will be in contact with Dennis, and we'll get those answers for you. So next Sunday after service, we'll have a short meeting. Just some questions and whatever that you might have. Yes, there is. The cost is roughly about $2,500. But I have to tell you this, because the last missions trip I led on, God told me to lead this trip. We had people on this trip that finances were a challenge, but they knew they really felt that God called them. Well, it was halfway through the process, and they weren't getting any action. It was pretty close to the end, and I just said, you know, trust God, trust God. And that money came through, and we were able to actually bring money with us to the ministry site that we went to. And I was just like blown away. I remember laying the money at the hands of the missionary thinking, how did we even come up with this? I mean, seriously, God just moved and did what he wanted to do.
Don't let money stop you. I said it in my prayer. If you feel the slightest urge to go on a missions trip, start moving forward one step at a time. The need is not the call. I've taken people on, Robin and I have taken people on missions trips since 1985. Every single person, and I'm talking about 1,000, has gotten the money they needed for the trip when they knew they were supposed to go. That's God's deal. That's not ours. We need to respond to the call. You can't be frivolous about it, but if you feel like you're being called, move forward step by step. God will open doors. And if you're not supposed to go, he'll close the doors. But you got to move forward. Get a passport if you don't have one. That's the first step. But just keep moving. Talk to your pastor about it. But just start moving forward if you think you're supposed to go. And don't let the money part stop you.
Well, it has been an honor to support Dennis and his ministry for all these years. And that money, what we've given them, has been bearing fruit and praying for them. I know on a weekly basis I pray for all these people, but prayer is such a huge part. Praying for these people. As Dennis said, he had just a stent put in a few weeks ago, an open bypass surgery. We're praying for their health, their safety. That's a big deal when you're going to countries like this on a regular basis, and then just life in general. But I'd like to have us just take a moment here and pray for Dennis. Pray for this trip. Pray for those that God is calling even now. So if you could just extend a hand forward. Yeah, please stand. And extend a hand toward Dennis, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, that you don't call the qualified. You qualify the called. And Father, as Dennis was talking about just being real, Father, we don't have to be any particular status or wealth position for you to use us. God, I know that your word says that you'll use us right where we are. No matter what we have in our hand, no matter what we don't have in our hand, you want to use us. Because, Father, your word says that it's not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's by your Holy Spirit. Father, you delight in using things that are small. You delight in using things that are insignificant. You delight in using us through our pain, through our trials, through our insignificance. Because, God, in your eyes, not one person on the face of this planet is insignificant. Not one. So, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to lift up Dennis and his wife, Robin, and their ministry partners. God, would you anoint them with wisdom? Would you anoint them with favor? Would you anoint them with protection? Would you anoint them with the need for these children, for these orphanages, for their ministry? God, would you lift them up? And Lord, may their hearts be so filled with joy that you are their Abba Father. The responsibility, Father, is not theirs. It's in your hands. All they are is to follow and to walk. That's it. Follow and to walk. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, for such a time as this, as we believe that you've called us, O God, to go minister to these children, Lord, would you go ahead and speak to those, O God, that you would be calling to this trip. Again, Lord God, it's not who we are, it's who you are. So, God, we place this in your hands. We pray that you would go ahead of us as you already are, then prepare the way, prepare the funds, prepare the children, prepare us for them, prepare them for us. And Lord God, that we would recognize, God, that between now and departure time, that Lord, that you are in this. No matter our trials, no matter our lack, no matter the storms in our lives, oh God, that calling does not go away. That calling is still there. So, Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to partner, oh God, with this precious ministry and with these children. Father, would you have your way in our hearts? Would you have your way in this ministry? God, again, Lord, we want Jesus to be lifted up. That's the most important thing. Why? That you might be glorified. That's the end of it all. The glory of God. Father, would you be glorified in all of this? We place it in your hands and we give you praise and glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Guys, I want to encourage you. I forgot to mention this as well. If you don't mind, go ahead and check in while you're here. Again, we're this week goes to this month goes to educating kids, after school programs, and so forth. So every two check-ins, you're sending kids to after school programs, so they hear the gospel and they're being taught as well. All right. So also, we are going to meet up at 11 o'clock at Meadowbrook Park and have an awesome time, and eat as many brats as you possibly can eat. All right, and. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you guys in about 45 minutes. All right? God bless you guys.